Federal Parliament is set to resume 2 weeks from today, although it will be a scaled-down and socially distanced Parliament. But Victorian MPs wishing to attend must quarantine for 2 weeks first, either at home before they leave or in Canberra when they arrive. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, rejected suggestions Victorian MPs could participate virtually, saying if they want to vote, they'll have to be physically present. The Minister for Population, Cities and Urban Infrastructure and Acting Immigration Minister Alan Tudge has just started 2 weeks of quarantine in Canberra. I spoke to him a short time ago and asked him about news that a man in immigration detention in Melbourne had died.
There has been a death in one of the immigration detention centres in Melbourne. I can't give you much details about, obviously, who the person is or the nature of his death. What I can confirm is that he was a person with a very serious criminal background and was being evicted from the country because of that criminal background. He has passed away, sadly, and obviously our condolences to his family.
Was he part of the cohort who are in the process of being transferred to Christmas Island?
That is not my understanding. He was certainly a person that has had very serious criminal history.
Okay, but obviously any death in an immigration detention setting is a concern. Are you confident that all protocols were adhered to?
Of course it's a concern, any death that occurs. I have no information to suggest that any protocol was broken. But of course, there's now a full coroner's investigation into this, quite rightly.
Let's move to your quarantining now. You're in Canberra quarantining for 2 weeks so that you can attend Parliament. How has that process worked?
Well, listen, most of us came up yesterday and I have an apartment here in Canberra, which I'll be based out of for the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we have technology set up in here and I'm quite close to Parliament House, so my office will be giving me materials throughout the day and then taking those home, but just dropping them outside of my door. When we've got a pandemic and we're expending this amount of money and in some locations where restrictions are more severe than they have ever been in Australia's history, then I do think it is important for the Parliament to sit and for the government to be available to answer questions.
Okay. And is this something, I know some Victorian MPs weren't exactly, you know, overwhelmed with happiness at this regime. Do you think it's a fair process?
Oh, the process is what the process is.
And but is it fair?
I'm not complaining about it. I can understand if you're in the ACT, they don't have any active cases here in the ACT. There's not many active cases anywhere else in Australia, but there are thousands upon thousands of active cases in Melbourne, so they're taking all reasonable precautions.
So have you got some sort of setup in there to be doing exercise and various other things? Sorry, I'm really intrigued by the way politicians are managing quarantine.
I just have a one-bedroom apartment here, PK, but I do have an exercise bike here, which I had purchased over the weekend and it was put into my apartment by one of my staff. I've got other equipment as well. I can open the door and have a very small balcony, but otherwise I'm really going to have my head down and just getting on with the normal business of government. I'll still be able to conduct all those Zoom conference calls that we do very regularly. I have secure video conferencing facilities to be able to participate in the cabinet meetings and as business as much as possible, as usual.
Ultimately, obviously, this is the current process, but will the parliamentary sitting try and sort out the future so that perhaps Parliament can be done online like everything else is done online now?
Yeah, I think that the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate are looking into this as we speak.
And do you support it? I mean, do you think that needs to happen? Because I know you've got a young family. You obviously have had to leave them for an extra 2 weeks. I know not many people have sympathy for politicians, but that's a big chunk of time to be leaving your children. Is that the sort of thing that you think should happen to allow politicians to be able to have families and also go to Canberra?
On this particular occasion, it's very rare that we're away from home for this length of time, and obviously it does have an impact on your family life. While the President and Speaker are investigating whether or not we can have effectively Zoom Parliament, I don't think we should go as far as having votes which are done in any other way other than being sitting in the chamber for those votes to occur. I think the voting part of it is very important that it's independently done, that you are standing alone, walking into the chamber and taking that seat to record your vote.
I want to move on to some portfolio issues if I can. What do you make of this call by 48 business leaders for investments in clean energy and urban infrastructure to help with the economic recovery after COVID-19?
Well, I certainly agree with the call for investment in urban infrastructure, and at the federal level, we're doing this in absolute spades. And even since November last year, we've put in an additional $9.3 billion worth of money into these forward estimate periods, that is over the next 4 years, with much of it occurring this financial year and next, because it can be a great way of supporting the economy, generating jobs, as well as laying down that infrastructure for when we actually do need it more again once we're back to normal.
And in terms of those projects that you're funding, particularly in Victoria around infrastructure, should we anticipate delays now because of stage four?
There'll certainly be some slowdown, and that's the advice which the state government has provided. So they've only got, for example, about a quarter of the people on the sites. How much of a delay this will cause, I don't know, but we're keeping a watching eye on this.
Okay, and have you, I think that's really key given it was about job creation, stimulating the economy. There were so many reasons behind that push. So have you sought advice from the Victorian government of to quantify what that delay will look like, and are you doing your own modelling around it?
Yeah, we're looking very closely into this, PK. Obviously, we'll wait until we get through this six-week period and hope that it is just this six-week period of this very heavy lockdown where construction is impacted. There's all the people who are in the professional services, in the planning approvals, in the architecture firms, the design firms and the like. And they're all working from home, and in some cases they've been slowed down because of that process as well.
Look, I just want to ask you, as a Victorian cabinet minister with a key vote and key voice around the table, given there's going to be a $10 to $11 billion hit as a result of the Stage 4 and Stage 3closures in Victoria to the national economy, we know that 80% of that will actually affect Victoria. Is it your view that Victoria is going to need a lot more federal support, and is that something you're going to be pushing for?
Well, we're already providing a lot of federal support, particularly through the job seeker payments and the job keeper payments. We've provided specifically for Victoria, PK, the pandemic leave arrangements, which is $1,500. We've put more mental health dollars into Victoria as well. So,
and do you back the comments of the Federal Treasurer and your colleague, Josh Frydenberg, essentially putting the responsibility on hotel quarantine and the failures there on the state government? Do you think they've done enough to remedy that situation?
Well, I mean, we know that the cause of the problem in Victoria was failures in the hotel quarantine system and then insufficient capacity in terms of tracing subsequently. That's well known. The quarantining, there's no quarantining going on at the moment in Melbourne. There's no further flights coming in from international, but we certainly need to learn the lessons from it. I think the tracing capacity is much better than what it was, and that becomes critical in terms of being able to stay on top of it. You know, we do need to get to the bottom of what actually happened to cause this failure so we don't repeat it
again. Yeah, and the Premier keeps telling us that there's an inquiry to deal with that. Are you satisfied with that answer?
I think Victorians want clearer answers now, so that assuming in, what is it now, 5 weeks' time, that we can start to open again and we have quarantine arrangements in place, we need the confidence that all the lessons learned are in place before we can have quarantine arrangements back into place.
The government continues to resist calls to extend JobKeeper and JobSeeker to people on temporary visas. Is it still your view that those people should go home?
Well, it depends on which category of people you're referring to. If a temporary migrant is finding it financially difficult to stay in Australia, then they should consider returning to their home country where they will be able to get that support. Our payments are there for Australians and permanent residents. Temporary residents, when they come here, they know, they understand, that they're to support themselves while they are here. And if they cannot support themselves, then they need to make arrangements elsewhere.
That's Alan Tudge. He's the acting immigration minister.